Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of season two of Let's Be Clear. I'm so glad you're here. How's your week? When are you listening? I know this is dropping on a Monday, but wherever you're at, I hope that you're being reminded that God is speaking to you, which brings me to the title of today's episode, Five Things God is Teaching Me. He's always moving. You know, we know that. But honestly, what I really liked about thinking about what to share with you guys for this episode is it really helped me have spiritual eyesight, like literal glasses for what is God saying? You know, I mean, we're really distracted. There's a lot going on, but I was hyper aware. Like, what is he saying to me? What are some themes in my life right now that I feel like God is saying, hey, Clear, can you kind of tune in to this? Or what has he said to the people around me to share with me that I feel like have been frequent? Like, what has been repetitive? And looking at those themes and really tuning into that has been so helpful. So anyway, as you listen and think about this for your own life, what is he teaching you? Like, what is he saying in your life? What is he maybe sharing with your friends or your husband? What's the theme? What are some things that have continually come up? Those are super important to note because they're not on accident, right? I was talking to a friend the other day, and she said, what are some ways that you can survey what God is showing you? And we were just talking about it, and I think that those are some good ways. What are some themes that are continually showing up? What are some things that have been kind of maybe repeated to those around you? What are you noticing, like on signs or even like on Instagram, or what you are looking for? A lot of times God is revealing himself in those ways. Also, what is a pain point for you right now? Like, what is something you are struggling with, or a wound that's kind of resurfaced? Our struggles and our burdens are often the places where God is whispering to us. And so thinking about those things is really helpful. So anyway, the first one that I wanted to talk about is when you schedule fun, it provides a layer of comfort to your soul because you know that you're tending to the child of God within you. Okay, what I mean by this is that having fun scheduled into your day or your week or even your month and knowing it's ahead, like it helps infuse joy into the now, right? Because you know that you're tending to that part of your soul and you know that your Heavenly Father cares a lot about that part. Guys, when I know that I'm tending to the fun aspect, I tend to be better about the focus aspect, right? Also, and I don't mean this needs to be like a big trip or anything other than something you consider fun. But for the sake of my example, think about when you have a trip scheduled and you know that you're going to be able to relax and let your hair down and take a breather. Doesn't it help you to endure the mundane? Exactly. Like when I know that something like that is ahead for me and I can have that on my schedule, it's really helpful for the mundane moments and the everyday of plowing the field, right? Having fun on your schedule helps you endure the not so fun moments and helps you dig deep in the challenging moments. I think there's a reason, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that the Bible always talks about children and their characteristics. And we all know the faith of a child is resilient and wondrous and big. And, you know, I was thinking about it with Sledge and just like my friend's kids and my nephews and niece and just the little kids in my life. And you know why I think they're quick to forgive and why they are not worried so much about the future and why they are diligent about the tasks in front of them and why they are just in the present moment. And I think that's because they are good at having fun. Like, I think about with my nephew, he's not going to linger on something that was hard or freak out about something as much or think so much about his bitterness towards someone because he is fun to go have, right? Like, that is so helpful to have on the calendar. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Guess what speaks highly of Jesus, y'all? And I'm learning this more and more. Someone who follows him and has fun. He has put our boundary lines in pleasant places. And I mean, we have a whole big backyard. Why are we so focused on where we can't go? There are so many things he wants us to do and to have fun while we are here. The second one the Lord is teaching me was, which is as literal as I'm actually saying it, I mean it in every sense of the word, keep your butt in a seat, okay? I don't know if you can relate to this, and this might just be a personal thing, okay? But sometimes I just want to avoid everything I don't find very delightful. Like, it sounds like human nature to me, but really, and this is probably more so the problem if I'm being honest, I tend to respond to what feels urgent or what someone else deems is urgent, rather than be obedient to what God has asked of me for that day, right? Like, a lot of times, if I don't intentionally keep my butt in a seat and have a plan for it, and I sit there and I refuse, because I think, yes, I work for myself, I work for the Lord, but I'm Jesus to keep myself there. Like, obviously, I can determine my own schedule for the most part, right? And so sometimes, like, I really need that discipline of just keeping my butt in a seat because I'm usually going to tend to the thing that I don't want to have to do if I stay there. Oftentimes, the greatest obstacle to obedience is distraction, right? I feel like that is truly a universal truth. The greatest obstacle to obedience is distraction, and even distraction by good things. I don't even mean it's something that's like bad. It's just, and I realize that this is not rocket science, but somehow so many of us fall into the trap of knowing what God's asked of us and then going through the day getting distracted by things that feel urgent to other people or feel urgent in the moment because we haven't fully committed to actually keeping our butt in a seat or staying exactly where he's asked us to stay, right? And then we get to the end of the day and we're frustrated again. We're frustrated that we did not remain in that place where he has asked us to remain. I think about it with creative writing. I mean, I can blame it on a lot of stuff right now. And yeah, things are busy and sure. Sledge has a lot of appointments and there's stuff that requires me to be flexible and kind of makes things a little hairy. But to be honest, like the reason I haven't creatively written the book that I know God has kind of written on my heart and I need to put pen to paper is because I have not kept my butt in a seat. That's the honest truth. I tend to find more ease in putting like laborious tasks. And I don't know if that's because like the addiction to productivity, if I'm being honest. And when it comes to creative writing, like I kind of get paralyzed and what I'm learning is that avoidance of an issue or a task makes it that much bigger and that much harder to start, right? Like eating the frog, as they say, there's a book, I think called Eat the Frog, but helps you walk in victory for the rest of the day, confident that you can do hard things, like doing it first, right? This can include like a conversation, a task, like for me, like creative writing, a meeting, or whatever it is. But usually when I avoid something, and this is, I'll speak for myself here. It's like I'm taking a bag of sand. Like imagine, I love visuals. Okay, so imagine you have a mountain that you know that you need to climb. You have your bag packed, you got ready, put your hiking clothes on, you're ready for the day, you set out to climb the mountain, and instead of climbing the mountain, you take bags of sand and you literally put it in front of the mountain before you start to climb. I mean, that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but I think that's what we do. When we worry about the assignment or the task or the conversation, we talk about the worry or we dread it or we procrastinate, we paralyze ourselves from starting, you know, and then the further we actually get from the mountain, from walking up it. So by the time I actually do the thing, most of the time, the warfare was to move the sandbags, not the actual completion of the task, right? The actual completion of the task is obedience, and that usually leads to freedom. So I think if we'll keep our butt in a seat, whatever version of that is for you, it'll help. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And yes, like in the actual sense of poverty and prosperity, the scripture means that, but it also means in the sense of prosperity of like fulfillment and the fruitfulness of life in general, not like always tangible prosperity, like in your soul, right? But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty of the soul. Like that's not what we were actually made to do. We were created to do the hard things. We were created to put faithfulness in the same direction, even when it's hard, right? We were created to be people of excellence. And so when we don't, and we put those sandbags in front of our mountain, makes me frustrated even thinking about it. But today, in light of this podcast, guess what I did not do? I did not grab a sandbag. I did not put it in front of the mountain. I kept my butt in a seat, which is why you're listening to this podcast. Yay. So I encourage you to do the same because you can. God's equipped you to do it. The third thing is keeping the word of God physically in eyesight is a mode of protection. So this is like major highlighted for me. And I just led a retreat at the Cove, which is Billy Graham's training center in the mountains of North Carolina. And y'all, it's the bomb. It's pristine. It's beautiful. And the peace of God, like it blankets you. From the moment you enter the gates to the moment that you leave, truly, it is exactly what the name says. It's a cove of protection. Anyway, I went on a walk from where we were staying, our hotel, to the chapel. And all along the way, amidst the trees and the brush and the forest, were signs with scripture engraved on them, like little iron markers to mark the correct path, that were filled with life-giving words and grace and forgiveness and strength and hope and joy and perseverance and faith and peace. And y'all, it just blessed me so much. I had heard these scriptures before. They weren't foreign, but seeing them etched along the way was such a reminder that this was the sustenance for my journey, right? That I think a lot of times we really are wanting the staircase, but scripture tells us in Psalm, right, that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Right? Just enough light for the step that we're on. And when we anchor ourselves to the word, we realize that we really don't need more than that. Right? I was just really moved by these words along. It was such a visual to me in my own life. And to be honest, it's a very much a visual because just with some things that we're walking through with Sledge, nothing crazy, but just developmentally and discernment as a parent and trying to figure out what to do and how to be proactive and things like that. It was kind of just a reminder like, hey, it's okay if you feel a little lost. Like, it's okay if you're kind of wondering, God, are we doing it right? You know what I mean? Like asking that question, I'm actually kind of there with clearly stated, being totally honest with you. I don't think it's a negative way. I actually think we're smack dab right where we need to be. And we have vision, but the vision is the hand we're holding. It's not some like elaborate business plan. I mean, we have products on the horizon. We have, you know, some things coming out and all of that. But it kind of feels like from a very holistic standpoint that God is very much saying, I just want you to keep asking me, God, is this right? Is this the right way, Father? Is this it? Because that leaning in and that dependence is what he wants from us, right? That's where the intimacy is. And so just having the word of God physically in eyesight, like I literally went back after I walked that path, went to the chapel. At the top of the chapel, they have a prayer room and they had scripture there, like Philippians 4, 6 or 7 about do not be anxious about anything, right? But with everything, submit through prayer and thanksgiving, submit your request to God. And he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think that's correct. But I've loved that verse for so long. But seeing it written down, right? Having it in these places, like where do you frequent, right? We're in our cars a lot. We're in our bathroom a lot. We have to brush our teeth and wash our face. We are by our kitchen sink a lot, okay? We're at our desk a lot or at home. We have a drop spot we usually see when we put our keys there. We have these places where we know our eyes are going to go. And so my question for you is that, can you put some scripture in those places? Because I've tried to do that. And even when I got back to the room, I literally changed my lock screen to scripture based on kind of what I was speaking on that weekend. And then I wrote down a few scriptures, wrote down three specific scriptures regarding like walking out and being courageous and having the Holy Spirit direct my words and my thoughts as I led these women. And it was so helpful. It was like, we know these things, right? But having them literally the bread of life, the sustenance, the living word, it's when we're thirsty and having that, like, it's kind of like, say, let's compare it to the living water, what it is, right? If you think about like with water, if you have a water bottle in your car when you get in, are you more inclined to drink water? No matter how good it is, how much you know you need it. Absolutely, right? If you have a water bottle by your bedside at night or a cup that you refill and you have it there in the morning and you have it there at night, are you far more inclined to actually hydrate yourself? Absolutely. That's what I mean. Having scripture physically before you is a mode of protection. The word of God is called the sword of the spirit in Ephesians 6, right? And I was just so reminded that it cuts through the clutter, it dispels fear, and it provides peace as it illuminates the pathway before you. So if you're confused, if you're exhausted today, if you're struggling, if you're whatever emotion you're feeling, the word of God is faithful to meet you there. And Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. I realize that like, this is probably the most elementary thing you'll hear today, but scripture provides more faith, right? And more faith brings greater courage, unrivaled joy, and unshakable peace. So if your life is hungry for that, yo, the Bible is your answer. It's our answer. And while we know it, we need these physical reminders because we don't even realize that it actually is our cove of protection. The next thing is there is a massive difference between knowing something is your calling and standing in agreement with it. So as I mentioned, I was leading a retreat this weekend with some just incredible women. And we were talking all about Moses and how God had called him to lead the Israelites through the Red Sea. And then we further talked about his story and that story in Exodus and carried on throughout the weekend. But Moses was so weary to take on what God had asked of him because he kept saying every time God is, it's in this, it's in Exodus 3 and 4. And you can see it again in Exodus 13 that Moses just constantly over and over again says, God, are you sure? It says, the Lord appeared to Moses and said, and Moses still responds with just these, are you sure? Do you realize I have a stuttering problem? Do you understand who you have called? Lord, I don't know that my mouth is the one that you want to use to speak to your people. Are you sure? And then the Lord performs signs and wonders. I mean, he even goes so far as to like, take Moses' hand, make it have a skin disease. He pulls it back out of his cloak and then it's healed again. Like he's showing them in these miraculous, physical, tangible ways, Moses, I know exactly what I'm doing, right? But if I'm honest, I feel like I've been Moses many times with what God's asked of me. And like with speaking, y'all, it has taken me a hot minute. Like I have been told that. I get frustrated with myself that like, Clear, how much, you know, you don't, first off, you don't need affirmation from the world, but how long are you gonna like teeter this line of saying, I know I'm called to that, but you're not standing in agreement with it. And what it really means to really sit in agreement with something is to not just say, yeah, I know that's true, but to literally pull up a chair and to get your hands dirty, to commit, to do whatever it requires, to pray about it, to stay, to really show up. And I love that when Moses continually said, but God, what if I, what if I? And God always responded with, Moses, I am, right? Moses, I will be with you. Not Moses, you won't have anything to fear, right? The only reason that faith is necessary is when fear is an option. He knew that fear was going to be something that Moses was presented with. And he said, look, you can stand in agreement with who I am, and that will give you the courage that you need to walk out your calling. Y'all, when you stand in agreement with what God is calling of you, responding in obedience becomes the only option. You become so acutely aware of the boundary lines. You become so acutely aware of the need. You become so acutely aware that your gift really has a lot to do with other people and not, it's not really your business. I mean, I've told you guys this before on the podcast, but with Clearly Stated, the Lord finally kind of heart checked me and said, hey, Clear, what I do with Clearly Stated is none of your business. Your business is showing up. And that's true, right? That's true. But what it also does is it removes the pressure. You no longer fear that you won't measure up because you trust that if God has given you an assignment, he has anointed you to carry it out through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? That is truth. That's what he tells us. I love the scripture from 2 Peter. It's long, but I'm going to read it over you because I know if I tell you to go read it, you may not. And so I'm going to read it for you. And it's just really good. It's a really strong scripture. It's 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us by himself, called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Who? Everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be of your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they may have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just love that. It's like, hey, look, Dallas Willard talks about how, look, salvation, like it's not, God is not opposed to effort. He is opposed to earning. This is not about earning your way into the kingdom. But what it says is, I know my identity. And so that identity requires some things of me while I'm here, right? How else will the gospel spread? How else will those know who Jesus is? That is life, that he's given everything so that we can have life. Y'all, that's the best news that we could ever give somebody. And the last thing, and this one is a big one, it's truly changed my marriage, changed my friendships, changed my work, changed everything. This is so crucial. It's so important. I could do a whole podcast on it. Maybe I will, but you can only take personal agency over your own emotions. Okay. This means two very important things. One, you cannot control the emotions of others. And two, other people do not have enough authority to decide your emotions. Only you can do that. Do you know what this also means? Therefore, you are not a victim to your life. No matter the unfortunate circumstances you might find yourself in a season. For me, like I've had trouble not letting my temperature gauge be that of others. But y'all, when I'm doing that, I'm assuming I'm powerful enough to determine their emotion. That is always their choice. Hear me when I say this. This doesn't give us permission to mistreat anyone ever. That is not what I'm saying. What it does is it gives you and I freedom from owning the fickle emotions and finicky opinions of others. When you try to control the emotions of others or manage how they feel about you, you rob yourself of the ability to love them where they are, as they are. Right? The most loving thing you can do, like I think about with Will, like with my husband, I'm like, you know what's so helpful is when I own my own emotions and I don't put them on him. I realize a lot of times the root of things and where they're coming from. It helps me actually be able to pursue healing as far as it depends on me, right? Because in that circle of influence, there may have been something that had transpired. He may have said something that hurt my feelings, but I decide what I take from that conversation, right? I decide, does it align with truth? Am I going to take that from this? I used to be so bad at this, and I still struggle with it. But y'all, if someone's being a dark cloud, like I used to make it my mission to convince them, look, sunshine is better. You want sunshine. This is what you want, right? Like, don't we all want to be happy? Yay, sing kumbaya by fire. But guess what? That's not my job. And I really can't love somebody where they're at if that's what I'm trying to do. And doing that, to be honest, will probably just annoy them and frustrate us, right? So take responsibility. Do you know how much more content and peaceful of a person you can become when you realize you are in charge of your emotions? Even when your husband irks you, or your kids have pushed your buttons, or your friend betrays you, or your coworker did something to hurt your feelings, or gossip about you, or whatever it is, you still get to decide what weight you will place on that and then what emotion you will take from it. So somebody can say something about you. What I mean by this is taking personal agency. It's like somebody can say something about you, but you decide if it makes you feel small, right? And it's one thing to feel something in a moment. And so I'm not saying like we're human, right? Of course, we're going to feel the inherent emotions that things make us feel. It's another to pick it up, label it, and then put it in your bag for safekeeping, right? A healthy soul recognizes and feels an emotion, but refuses to be led by it. Galatians 6:5-7 says, "For we are responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Honestly, y'all, walking through these five things, and I know I zoomed through that, I want to make these episodes where they're not so crazy long and you can listen as you're doing a task or driving to pick up your kids or whatever. But, you know, I just am really grateful that God continually shows himself to us, even though I feel like we give him such half-hearted attention a lot of the time. You know, I mean, we're really good at giving a lot of things a little of our attention. And he wants all of us, right? Our whole hearts. So I don't know. What are you learning? What is God showing you? I want to know if this encouraged you or if you were like, yes, he's showing me that too. I love hearing that. I love hearing how the Holy Spirit meets you where you are with these episodes. You can always send an email to shop@clearlystated.com. or message me on Instagram, or you can write it in your review or whatever. We look at all of that. Like, we're a small, lean company. And so, like, none of that would get missed. And you just have no idea how much it edifies us and spurs us on and helps me write these episodes. So anyway, I hope this encouraged you. Just wanted to talk and, you know, keep your eyes open. Like, sit down, maybe sit down after you're listening to this and write down three things God's showing you in the notes on your phone. Maybe make it a dinner conversation. Like, hearing how God is talking to other people is very, infuses us with courage and strength too. So anyway, I'm going to close with the Monday prayer. If you're, it's not Monday, it's appropriate for every day, as you know. And if you are driving, please do not close your eyes. But if you can, if you're walking, if you're hanging out, if you're with somebody, grab their hand. Okay. Power of laying on hands is so crucial, but I'm going to pray it up. So, hey, Jesus, thank you for the gift of another Monday. I see your kindness in a million different ways, from the people that surround me to the resources that you provide to the ways that you allow me to partner with you. I am overcome with gratitude. Will you help me be a better person of diligence and focus this week? Sharpen my awareness of where you want me, what you want my hands to hold, and what you're asking me to let go of. My answer is yes to whatever it requires of me. When I have forgetful or anxious moments, bring your word to my mind and your promises to my heart. The bread of life is what encourages me when I am weak. Thank you for allowing me to speak life into dry places as you breathe hope into weary souls. Your presence is the infusion I needed. Show me how to stand in firm agreement with where you're calling me to go, even when my flesh feels highly disqualified. Grace covers every gap. As I interact with others and the world around me, help me take personal agency over my emotions so that I can operate with wisdom and joy. You are the wonderful counselor, and no emotion makes you unsure of me. In the mighty, holy, kind, and compassionate name of Jesus, amen. I love you guys so much. I'm hugging you through this grain. I hope you feel it. And truly, wherever this finds you, I hope that you're just reminded that you are so important, that God sees you, that if you're in a waiting season, He especially sees you. He is trustworthy to wait on. And He's a good Father, and He's your very best friend. So talk to Him. After you listen to this, or pause me, talk to Him. He wants to say something to you. Love you guys. Have the best.